I would love to welcome you all again to There Is Always Hope. I truly believe that there is, and each of your stories is proof that it is true. And it is my incredible honor and joy to have the privilege of taking your voice and what God has done in your life through your story literally to the world. It is my mission, it is my call to be a facilitator, to share what you have to share. And I, my first round of editing with my local editor, is the first person who has read all the stories, and she said to me, she was so moved. She said each story stayed with her for days. And she said, Imra, this book is going to change lives. It brings me to tears when I read your stories. I had the privilege of reading one today to Kathy Burnsett's mother, and I got all tearful while I was reading the story. So I just know that that you are going to be changing lives. So what I'm going to share a little of what's going on, what's going to be happening, how you can be involved, and then have you that are on the phone introduce yourselves to each other. So again, and if you have any questions, to please ask me at the end, or to email or Facebook, whatever works well for you. So quickly again, the book overview is to share hope through what Jesus has done through our stories, to empower women and to challenge them to be more, live more, and love more. I cover the five life skills that I have learned in life when they were present or when they were absent. And quickly, the five is the act of no complaining. The second is affirmations, thanksgiving that go to praise. The third is living a healthy lifestyle. The fourth, dreams, goals, and purpose. And the fifth is the act of giving. So there are five stories under each of the five sections. Your stories are packaged under there. You could have had the skill present or the skill absent. And then added to that is that most of the stories cover different aspects of stressors that we as women go through in life. At the end of each story, there are three pertinent questions that I drew from your story, which you would have all seen, and the scriptures that go with it. Again, it could be a whole little workbook, I believe, in inspiring, but challenging someone to be more, for real change to occur. So that's a little about the book. How am I going to share this book? 21 book stops, if you'd call it that, book signings. I'm going to call them hope gatherings. And a hope gathering will consist of, I will briefly share these five life skills so that there's teaching, that there's substance. And I'm really a motivational trainer and speaker so it can touch the heart of each of the people in the room. And then if I'm in a city where there are storytellers, which is you, then you will read a little bit of your story, enticing the audience to want to hear more and a little about you and your purpose in life. And then we may have tea and book signing. And if you are present, you can sign within that book too. So I think the woman will absolutely love that in your areas and in your cities where you are. I purpose that really that God is the one that has designed every step of this, that he will send this book and have these hope gatherings where he chooses. And so if it touches your heart and you would like to have a hope gathering in your city, to please let me know. It does not have to be a big conference of 200 people. It could be a gathering of all the women you know and they inviting a friend to tea. It could be anything that you actually put together. And how I will fund that my tent making, which is corporate training, I would ask you to introduce me to or give me suggestions, or you may want to do it. Set up training for me in your town. I could go and teach, do some corporate training, whether it's workshop, whether it's whatever it is. I would send an email on what I have to offer to go, and it'll hopefully that will pay for my airfare and to actually be there in your town. And then the Hope Gathering will be one of the events that are scheduled during this time. So if you have opportunity or know of companies that would, and my training is highly effective. I do communications in the workplace. I have one this week. We are all the same yet different. Diversity and inclusion for hope and respect in the workplace is a very powerful training to do. And it is good for workplaces, community, and the church. So I also can offer this for church leadership groups. So if you know of any need in that, we could set that up, and I surely can come to your town. That would be very exciting. I do have slated to go to South Africa this year. My dad left me a tiny little bit of money, and I'm going to use that to get over there and arrange speaking appointments. I've been invited to go to Zimbabwe. I've been invited to go to Mexico, and depending on how God provides funds for all of this, we'll be going in the fashion that I've just described. So my intention with your work, I call it our book, is to take this message globally. Every book that is sold, the money coming back will be available to purchase more books. So constantly pouring it in. I'm starting fundraising to this end. We're doing a hope walk in California, end of March, beginning of April. So just many, many aspects that God brings to mind that can create platform to share the story and generate revenue for it. So that's a little of what we're going to be doing. Does anyone have any questions?
No, it sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. So, so first of all, to ask you all to please be in prayer, to pray as often as God reminds you for, I still need provision to print the book, and I know I will have it when it's needed. It is gone. I've sent the whole thing, but one story, to the final editor and publisher, which is Rachel Hartman with Owl of Hope, Our Written Lives. She published my previous book, and she's a phenomenal hybrid publisher to actually work with. So I'm very excited that it is with her. We are hoping to have the books by the end of April. So my intention is to have the big kickoff launch here in Savannah at the end of April. And then I will start the book tour May, June, South Africa, possibly in July. And then the rest of the year to many different places. Now, I would like to, those of you that are on the call, if you would introduce yourself, say a little about you, that we can hear your voices, and then I'll share a little about the ladies that are not with us this evening. Natalie, would you like to start?
Oh, sure. So my name is Natalie Phillips, and I live in Fort Collins, Colorado. I am an audiologist. I'm also an entrepreneur and a connector. And so I have a practice here and see patients, but I also am working on building a business outside of audiology in the medical field. And I spend a lot of time working with individuals that have startups and helping them grow their voice, both within themselves and trying to find what it is that their calling is, as well as help them reach out on social media. So that's me.
Thank you for sharing, Natalie. Kathy Rogers, you said you're here, right?
Yes, yes.
Would you like to share?
Yeah, hold on. I'm Kathy Rogers. I'm sorry, I'm moving to another room because everybody's in the living room. And I live in Savannah, Georgia, and I am a health coach and help other women get healthy and try to provide a diet for them to based on their particular issues and whatever their goals are. And I also do web design, and one of my latest projects has been an event site, which I really enjoy doing those. And so I'm holding a few hats in the business world and then in the health world. So, and we're raising our grandson now, and he's 13 years old. And so our life is quite full. And anyway, but we have fun.
Have fun.
Yeah.
And for those of you, Kathy helps hold me somewhat accountable with my healthy living. So thank you, Kathy, for sharing.
Sure.
Janie.
Hello, and I have to say I have two of my favorite people in the world on this call. Miss Emra, I heart you, and you know that, even if we don't get to talk very often. And Miss Kathy, you know how I feel about you. I love you both to death, absolutely. But for those of you who don't know me, I'm a recent transplant to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm married. I have two fur babies, and at this current moment, I am a manager of a beauty supply store about 45 minutes from where I live, so pretty much that's how I get to spend my day, is selling hairspray. That's pretty much what I do. I encourage people. I try to instruct and educate people, and that's really it in a nutshell.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's really marvelous to have you on the call. Thank you for being with us, Janie.
Thanks for sending me the text message and reminding me.
Me too.
I do think that Kathy Bernstein is with us too.
So that makes three of my favorite people on the planet on this phone call.
I'm just going to say, Natalie, I'm going to make it my point, make it a point in my life to be your fourth favorite.
Okay.
That will not be hard, Jane. She is a marvelous young lady.
Hi, Ms. Kathy.
Hi, Kathy Bernstein here.
And
Kathy, would you share a little about yourself?
Yes, I'd love to. Delightful to be with you on this call, and really a delight to be a part of this project with you, Emra. As I had the privilege today of sitting as you read a story to my mother and just saw the impact of that story, I know that this is beyond what we can even think or imagine is going to be the outcome of this book that you've written. So I'm glad to be a part of that. My little part of the world is Perfect Timing. I have an entity called Perfect Timing today. I do time management, all things time management. I've written a book about time management, and am a recovering person that didn't manage my time very well for many years of my life. And just have had the privilege of seeing how God has multiplied my time recently. And I'm just excited about what's ahead for this book, Emra, for what you're doing. And really excited tonight to get to meet Natalie. I don't know that I've met you yet, but I'm excited to meet you here tonight on the phone and hopefully get to meet you in person one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yes, Janie, you're on the favorite list in Kathy.
Natalie, if you haven't been to Savannah, these three ladies will change your life.
I'm thinking I need to the South.
You do. You need to come.
Oh, ladies, it would be like, I know an impossible, but I know with God all things are possible, that we would at some point all be together in one room. Who knows what God has in store for the future, right? So thank you for sharing, Kathy. I do believe, Georgette, you're on the call with us too.
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Georgette, introduce yourself. Tell us a little more about you.
Okay, I'm Georgia Jackson. I'm a grandmother of five, a mother of three children that are all deceased, and I have a nonprofit organization that's geared towards helping get single homeless women off the street and into a place of their own. We're trying to raise funds to get them into a house that would be a residential program to help them get back on their feet. And I've also written one book called 30 Days of Divine Rest, and I'm working on my second book. And I'm also I work full-time, plus I do my ministry, Divine Rest Incorporated.
Thank you for sharing, Georgette. I cannot wait for you all to read each other's stories. Georgette and I have a Monday morning, 7 o'clock prayer appointment every week. And we are interceding for this place for women that are going through difficult times to actually the Lord to provide it. So it's just incredible when you read her story and see what God has done for her and the incredible, I'm just going to leave it at that. You are not going to want to wait to read this story. Oh, each of you, I'm just so excited. So at this point, I see that I've had a few more things pop up with ladies that cannot join us. They might be one or two late, but I do want to just briefly give you the names of the other ladies, and I will be posting each story in the Facebook special group. I sent you all an invitation. It is a secret group so that nobody from the outside can see it nor comment on it, obviously, and it is just for each of you that is in the book. And I will hope that you will each introduce yourself in there and put your picture. And don't do it under the comment where I said welcome and please share. Just, I have one there. Keep your own, make your own post so that it's really easy for everyone to share. So I do have one that has been posted. I'm sure Angelina Cortello, she is not with us on the call, but she kindly sent a beautiful picture. And she said, hello, my name is Angel. God brought me a mighty long way from the streets of Miami, selling myself for money and crack to an amazing relationship with God, who has led me the whole way to a place of freedom while living with HIV and clean now, wrote and published two books and opportunities to speak nationwide in many settings. My passion is investing in other addicts for their freedom and standing up for the HIV community. I am grateful and blessed. So, and for most of you, you'll be able to go onto each other's Facebook page, see more about each other. At the end of each story, as you know, you'll be able to go to websites if the lady has a website. Not everybody is on Facebook, and Ms. Helen Campbell is not. She doesn't do email, so I contact her by phone. So those of you that are in Savannah know her. She's an incredible, tiny little lady. And before we're done tonight, I will close by reading her story, and I have a specific purpose for that for you. So I'd like to just share with you, there are 27 stories in this book. My story is an introductory story, and then the five challenges, five under each, and then there is a closing story of Sherry Matthews, who incorporated all the five challenges skills in her life. And it's just, as again, each of you have incredible stories. So I have, and I'm going to post the stories sort of in the order that they actually are in the book. So right now I'm just going to read them, and they're kind of in this order. We have Holly Dowling, Kathy Burnsett, Jenny Lynn Anderson, Juliet van Heerden. Those are the five under No Complaining. Then under Affirmations, Praise, Giving, and Thanks, we have Susan Call, Rachel Hartman, Sarah Williams, Janie White, Angel Cortello, and Victoria Donatile. Actually, the one goes on the other. Then we have Healthful Living, Lindsay Hardy, Courtney Santana, Karen Pearson, Kathy Rogers, and Dawn Knighton. And the last, Living in Purpose, Ingrid van der Velde, Linda Znacko, Dawn Baker, Sarah Huxford, Pam Wolf, and then the Act of Giving, Juanita Kretschmar, Helen Campbell, Georgette Jackson, Natalie Phillips, and Regina Corona. And then we close with Sherry Matthews. So that's a lot of stories that I will post on the Facebook page. If you are not on Facebook, please just text me or send me an email so that I can email them to you as I post them on the page. I think it would be very meaningful to hear feedback. This is our first line after my first editor of feedback about the stories. And then during the month of April, I'm going to do a pre-launch, which will be a Facebook page. And if you have women that you want to invite, I am going to invite and see how many I can get to the pre-launch. Rachel will send an ebook. It has like a little faint banner through it, so it's not the actual real ebook, but it will be the edited version of the ebook, ready for publishing. And we will send it to each of them, ask them to read it, ask them to comment, so that before the book actually launches, we will have a lot of posts that can be made on Amazon about the book. We have a lot of feedback from the book that we can all use. We can get pre-orders. I already have pre-order. How cool is that? I was just telling a lady the other day, and she wants to do this whole fundraiser for our Hope Walk with a Hope jewelry line, which will be launched this week. And she said, I would like to buy some of the books. Can I pre-order? Because I would like to send it to the company that makes all this jewelry. She is going to fall in love with your book because it's a Christian company. She said, Emra, perhaps they'll even have you come and speak, or who knows what she will. I'm sure she'll design jewelry that is Hope jewelry for you. So, and that was one of the things on my list with the Lord, to have a line of Hope jewelry. So God shows, I'm a visionary, so the Lord will give me the pictures and where I'm going, and I've had to endure the incredible discipline of stepping back to start from the very beginning, from scratch, and allowing him to take it there, because I'm not brilliant enough to get it there. But when I just do each step that he asks me each day, it's fascinating how it unfolds and how he puts it together. So I'm learning to walk fearlessly. As long as I'm in obedience, I know I'm learning what he said, that you will have more power than me when I left the earth through the Holy Spirit. So I'm learning to know that if we are willing to do God's work and share him and for me through story, there is no reason that is not going to be almighty. But it's his job. I'm just faithful to each day. So I would like to read to you. I don't want to hold you long. This story, and then pose you with a request tonight. It is from Section 5, The Act of Giving. It is called Forgiving and the Unthinkable by Helen Campbell. A warm welcome of joy wrapped around me as the sprightly 4-foot-10-inch Miss Helen flung her door open to invite me into her home. Her energy and smile filled the nautically themed room where she made sure I had the most comfy chair and offered me a tall glass of iced tea. What she shared came smoothly, and I knew that giving was as easy as breathing to her. Little did I know the depths her giving had reached. And here is her story that she tells. I was a thoroughbred New Yorker, transplanted to Savannah when my husband, who I met at 13, moved here for work. I didn't like it. It was too hot, and there was no shopping. I was terribly verbal about my dislike. My husband, Bob, came home one night, sat me down and said, "You are making us all miserable with your complaining. You need to stop it." I tried so hard to not complain, and it worked. I grew to love beautiful Savannah. It has been such a blessing, even though I experienced the greatest trial of my life here. We were married 51 years, and we had three children, Richard, Susan, and Charles. My daughter Susan was dating a brilliant young man named Jody Ziegler, and one morning she just left a note on her bed saying she was pregnant and eloped. They had a daughter, and Jody took responsibility and went to work. Susan was expecting their second child when there was an industrial incident at his work. A tire blew up in his face, and he hung to life, but 2 weeks later died. Their son was born 2 months after his death. After some time, our dentist wanted to set up a date with Susan and one of his patients. Finally, she agreed to go, and the two got married. Unbeknown to me, he was an extremely abusive man who put her in the hospital 12 times. He told her that if she told her parents, he would kill her brothers. Together, they started an electrical business, and he built a large house. You couldn't see into it as it had a big fence around it. She fell pregnant with twins, and when they were about 4 months old, she called me in despair, sharing that one of the babies was dead. I still had no idea what was happening in their home. When their baby Kimberly was 9 months old, Susan was upstairs, and her husband called her to come down and bring him something. "I'll be there in a minute, just finishing up." Next thing she knew, he came up, dragged her downstairs by her hair, beating her with a piece of wood. Seeing the gun lying on the washing machine, she grabbed it, shot and killed him in self-defense. The judge didn't put her in jail, he just restricted her. She couldn't vote, couldn't leave the city, and she needed to be home with the three children. She did that and kept working in the business. Susan had made some bad decisions, and finally knowing the truth of it all, I blamed myself. I do believe if I had been committed to God better, I would have been a better mother. Susan had a kind heart and sometimes had boys from their trailer park over for cookouts. One night they tried to break in down the street from Susan. A neighbor's alarm went off. The boys hid and the police drove by, but yet saw nothing. They wandered around, went into the convenience store where the police showed up too. They waited for the cops to leave and decided to go off to Susan's. They disconnected the wiring in the outside wooden utility house, and when the dog started barking, they killed them. Susan had no hearing in one ear due to her ex hitting her so hard and damaging it, and she didn't hear a thing. The boys went into Kimberly's room and started beating her. She screamed before they knocked her out. Susan heard her and came running in bewilderment. The boys had knives and started coming towards Susan, one commenting how nauseous he became as he didn't know it took so long to kill someone. He then slit her throat and she died. All these details were proudly shared during the trials to come. They then took Kimberly upstairs, raped her, knifed her, beat her, and threw her body aside. They took gasoline and matches and set the house alight. The house burned to the ground. Later autopsies revealed that Kimberly was alive and burned to death. Susan was 43 and Kimberly was 13. The next day, the boys stood across from the house and next to the cops asking questions. They had stolen Kimberly's boombox, some oxycodone pills, and cheap St. Paddy's Day jewelry. The boys weren't even on drugs. At first, they were only going to break in, just steal a few things, but Satan entered. One boy said, "I cannot do this," and the other said, "Oh no, you are. You're finishing this with me." This was 16 years ago. Psalm 119:71 says, "It has become my life verse. The Lord allows these things to happen so I can learn his decrees." I was not close to God when all this happened. I've been many religions, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist. Now I know Jesus and the difference between religion and relationship. I know Jesus says I need to love and love everybody above everything. I do love him and appreciate the difficulties which bring me closer to him. I have learned to understand what he means when he says that we need to forgive. Forgiveness is the hardest thing to do. During the second trial of the young men, I kept praying to the Lord, "Holy Spirit, make me accept what God said that I am to forgive." Through prayer and spending time at church and worship, I finally said, "I can do this with your help." About 2 years later, during the trials, I decided to write to the boys in prison. I spoke to them about Jesus, who loves them, and that he asks us to forgive. I pray each day that he will help me forgive you, boys. I hate what you did, but not you. Boys, look to Jesus in the eye and tell him that you're sorry. ask forgiveness and accept him. My son Richard asked how I could forgive them. All I can say is that it's between God and me. I have seen the spiritual need to forgive these boys and that he uses my forgiving to help me get through. Eventually, Richard asked for us to pray together. We did. There it is, Mom. We hugged and we have grown closer than ever. A few years ago, he and his wife went to church and responded to the call to baptism. My husband died 4 years after Susan and Kimberly's death. He didn't do well with it all. He changed, became withdrawn, yet thankfully was at peace in the end. I have had to accept that you cannot live in the past. I continue to ask God to keep me strong and stay in his presence, because if I let go, the resentments can resurface. Jesus walks with me each morning, and I walk through the day with joy with my sweet doggy. Three things are important in my life: humility, patience, and faith. I have learned to have faith in all God's promises. He has my best interest at heart. I've learned not to look back. God doesn't ask us to more than what he has done for us, to do more than what he's done for us. He is there all the time. Just ask him to go with you every day, step by step. He is a loving God with a good sense of humor. He can't help unless we ask him. We need to have faith to do what he has for us to do. It is good to be afflicted and to learn his decrees. Hear what God is saying to you. Open your heart. Let the Holy Spirit in. He came and said, we must forgive others, and he will forgive us. Whatever difficulty you're having is difficult to your offender too. Humble yourself and go along with Jesus and what he has to say. So Ms. Helen Campbell is retired and lives on Wilmington Island, Georgia. She serves others by volunteering for the Ronald McDonald House Charities, knits for Friends and Needles at Isle of Hope Methodist Church, is a greeter at her church, cleans communion trays, and is part of the Emmaus community. She speaks for Jesus whenever she's asked. So the prayerful application to her story is what I want to ask each of you tonight for a specific purpose. Do any of you have any unforgiveness in your heart towards anyone? Can you give forgiveness today? Mark 11:25 says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive your sins. Secondly, do you know and believe that you are fully forgiven by God when you ask forgiveness? Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. And Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Can you and do you accept that God has allowed things to happen to you so that you may know him better? Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So I want to close our sweet time together, sweet for me, an honor, and leaving that with you, that as you go into this week, that you can be prayerful every day with the Lord. Is there anything that stands between me and you? Is there any unforgiveness in my heart? Sometimes he has to dig deep to pull threads out. And if you will ask him this week to just make sure there's not one thread of animosity, grudge bearing, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, fear in your heart. And when he shows you a little instance, or he brings someone or some experience to mind, say, what are you saying, Jesus? And just ask him, let him unpack it for you. And again, in that instance, say, I'm sorry, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me, because we just read, he forgives instantly. And as we say thank you, we allow him to rip it out and pour a little more of himself in. And as we go into a prayerful time, and I'm asking you to pray with me for this book, may our hearts and our souls be so pure before the Lord. And if there's something you're struggling with the Lord, and you know there's anger, it's the place to be real, right? To say to the Lord, I'm just so mad about that still. I'm grieving. I can't deal with it, but here it is. You make me forgive. You heal my heart. And you know, each of you know by now, little by little, absolutely he does that. So he wants us to be real. And then he can change. And he can unthread, unpack, remove, and pull more in. So that we truly can go forward in power. I am telling you, ladies, when your stories hit the road, people are going to want to get in touch with you. God, you know, every day I see that he puts the right person, the oddest person, the person he ordained in our path. And as they read the story, this is going to go where it needs to go. They're going to hear your stories and they're going to go, oh, she's where I'm at. I need to touch her. I need to reach out there. So may we be ready and clean and right before God as we go and take him to the entire world. So let's close and pray. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your children, of being able to share you through our stories. It's our way of sharing the gospel that you asked us to go and do. And we know that we will never be giving and not receive abundantly. You are the God of giver. It is like you breathe giving when we give. So I pray that you will pour out onto every single one of these women like you have never in their lives before. Talk to them. Build relationship more than ever before. Bless them. Protect them. Surround their families, their lives. And we ask you to take these stories in this book to share hope to a dying world. Let it go to every place that it needs to. And we just give it to you open-handed. And thank you that you will bless and you will open every door that needs to be for this. Thank you that we can serve you. Amen.
Amen.
Any thoughts? Any comments?
That was an amazingly powerful story. I'm like tearing.
And I'm telling you, I want to assure each of you that every story I have shared has had the same impact. So may you go into this week knowing that you have given to Jesus, that you have made yourself available, and just go and give thanks. Thank him that you said okay. Thank him that you said yes. And what he's going to do through this. And look for his blessing and his joy this week. So I thank you each. I look forward to communicating in Facebook. If you need to text me, phone me, email, anything, I am yours to serve humbly with Jesus. So thank you so much. So much love to each of you.